Would you take your Bibles, if you have one tonight, open to Acts chapter 4. If you'd please stand, we'll read just a few verses. Then I'll ask you to be seated. Is it comfortable tonight? Is anyone too warm? Is anyone too cold? Okay, so there are two of us who are too warm. Well, the rest of you, we'll just have to. We'll accommodate. Leave it right where it is, I guess. Acts chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 5 through 13, and then we're going to turn to 1 Peter, and we're going to read chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then chapter 5, verses 10 through 14, is what we're going to read tonight. So, Acts chapter 4, we'll start in verses 5 and read down through verse 13. Now, I've already had the encouragement tonight. Let's see, how was it put this before the service? Someone said to me, remember, there's no such thing as a bad short sermon. So, I don't think it's going to be quite as short as this person intended. I also mentioned to that person that I have a friend who has told me before, he says, I'm of the opinion that a sermon should never be longer than 20 minutes. He says, if a guy can't say all that he has to say in 20 minutes, then he shouldn't be up there. And he said, you can preach longer than you want if you want longer than 20 minutes, but I shut you off after 20 minutes. So I will also tell you, I will probably not finish in 20 minutes, but maybe somewhere around half an hour. We'll certainly finish before 7 o'clock. But I will be preaching tonight and then next Sunday night. Pastor asked me to preach those two. And when I began thinking what I would talk about, I had recently finished reading Peter, 1 and 2 Peter. So I thought I would either be in those two books, 1 and 2 Peter. I had originally actually started something on the rapture. I was going to preach on why we believe in the rapture the first week, and then the second week on how we defend those who don't believe there will be a rapture. But I ended up coming back to 1 and 2 Peter. So my plan tonight, we're going to study just a brief overview of the book of 1 Peter, and that's going to lead us into next week, 2 Peter. We're going to do an overview of 2 Peter. And if you plan to be here next Sunday, you're going to have some homework in the interim, okay? So before we leave tonight, I'm going to give you some homework for next Sunday. But 1 Peter tonight is where we'll be, 2 Peter next Sunday. But I want to introduce both with Acts chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 5. Acts chapter 4, verse 5. Okay, and it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Then would you please go to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read just the introduction. 1 Peter 1, I would like to read verses 1 through 5. Please follow along. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then if you would, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. Greet ye one another with the kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Jesus Christ. And he ends with, Amen. We have just read what would be considered the introduction and the conclusion of the book of 1 Peter, written by the same man who stood up in the account you read in Acts chapter 4 and said, this is done by Jesus Christ. The man who said, Jesus Christ is the King of my life. He writes an epistle for us. I want us to spend just a few minutes going over 1 Peter tonight. And then, like I said, we're going to use that as a launching point for next week. Also, I trust you will find some encouragement tonight. I trust you will find a challenge. And I trust then that we will leave here and be an encouragement to others. May we pray, please, and then I'll ask you to be seated. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that we have everything that you have intended for us to have, that we have your word. We have not everything we want to know. We have not everything we want to hear. But we have everything that you have for us, and we praise you for that. We praise you for giving us your word, for giving us your spirit, for giving us this chance to be here tonight to open your word. Will you please open our hearts and our minds to receive your gospel, and you receive the glory from it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Lord willing, next Sunday we will return to the book of 2 Peter, as tonight we will use the book of 1 Peter as our text. Peter's initial audience were the Christian pilgrims. If you will read in a minute 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says they were living in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are all provinces in what is now known to us as the nation of Turkey. So Peter writes this book to the churches in that region, and now we believe because this book of Scripture is part of God's inspired word, which we'll get to more of next week in 2 Peter, this is intended for us. This, by extension, is a message to us. And as I began to read Peter again recently, and I've read it several times within the last couple of weeks, read it again today, not a long book. It's really not. I encourage you to read the book of 1 Peter this week. It won't take you but between 5 or 10 minutes, depending upon how long, how fast you read. It's an easy read, but it's a very challenging book. It's a very encouraging book, and it's a book that has a lot to say about the topics we'll discuss tonight. So as I began to sit down and write what I was going to say tonight, I started with outlines like I normally do. I go and find, hey, what guy's got a good outline on what I'm going to say? And I went through at least a dozen outlines of Peter. And Bill, I know you've experienced this too, and we've talked about this many years ago, but it's interesting, all of the outlines that are out there available for different books of the Bible. And so when I saw all of these different outlines, they're completely different, at least a dozen of them, and I said to myself, I wonder which of those Peter used when he wrote his letter, right? I wasn't really sure which of them he started with, but I tried to start with, hey, what is a good outline? And so I wrote down and I copied into my computer program all of the different outlines, and as I began to look at the outlines, I noticed a lot of them had things in common. There was one outline that was very short, had 2 points. Number one is our salvation in Christ, 1 Peter 1 through 3, verse 12. And secondly, our duties in Christ, 1 Peter 1, 13 through 5, 11. Pretty simple. Another one had this. 1 Peter is divided this way. Praise to God for his grace and salvation, chapters 1, verses 3 through 12. And exhortations to holiness of life, chapter 1, verses 13 through chapter 5, verse 11. My Ryrie Study Bible, which I carry here, and I think a couple of you have a Ryrie Bible, has an outline that puts it this way. Number 1, grace means security, chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. Grace means sobriety, chapter 1, verses 13 through chapter 2, verse 10. Number 3, grace means submission, chapter 2, verse 11 through chapter 3, verse 12. Number 4, grace means suffering, chapter 3, verses 13 through chapter 4, verses 19. And finally, grace means service, and that's chapter 5. All, of course, had subpoints, and many were much more elaborate than each other, but very similar, but outlined in different ways. So I come to 1 Peter tonight, and I don't really have an outline that is a copy of one of the outlines that was in any of the commentaries that I read, that were in any of the online resources I looked at, or according to my Ryrie Study Bible. I decided not to use an outline. In fact, when I first started, I was going to have slides, and I was going to put up slides so that you would have an outline to follow. I don't have an outline tonight. But what I do have is, I dare say, a challenge, an encouragement. I dare say that every person under the sound of my voice tonight will benefit from even a casual reading of 1 Peter. There's a challenge here tonight for us. There's an encouragement here tonight. And someone asks this question, why is 1 Peter so important? 1 Peter focuses on the importance of believers bearing up under unjust suffering, yet continuing to live well. In this way, 1 Peter might be called the Job of the New Testament, providing encouragement for the true believer to continue on in the way that Jesus has laid out for all of his followers. The endurance that Peter called these believers to is similar to Job's, a man who suffered despite his righteousness. Peter maintained that this was the kind of true perseverance that God expects from his people. So, here we have endurance, perseverance. Now, I was reading this afternoon, it's about 3:15, and I heard something hit the side of the house. Sounded like hail, but wasn't quite hail. And then all at once, I heard the wind blowing really hard, and I looked out the back patio door, and I saw the leaves on my tree, you know, were being blown by the wind. So I got up to look out, and out of nowhere, you know, there are wind gusts. And a few minutes later, the rain started. So I pulled out my phone. I don't have my phone with me. I pulled out my phone, and I opened my weather app, and the first thing I noticed that there was 0% chance of rain in my zip code, right? So as I'm watching these gale force winds and the rain begin, I notice that, okay, my weather app isn't always accurate, so I closed my phone, and I began just to watch the rain. And it rained hard. I mean, how many of you around you, it rained really hard this afternoon? Okay, so it wasn't just my zip code, but maybe where you are too, it began to rain hard. And after about 5 minutes, I heard an unmistakable sound in the middle of the rain. I heard, first, it was far away, and then it got closer and closer, and it's that unmistakable hum of a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. Riding up 156th Street in the middle of a rain. Okay? Now, I don't know the guy. Don't know who it was. It may have been one of you. I don't know. But somebody was driving in the middle of a rainstorm on 156th Street today because he was caught in a situation that he did not plan for. Something certainly was unexpected. Now, I'm not much of a motorcycle rider. If you know me, I've been on. I will tell you three stories of my life when I've been on motorcycles. None of them end very happily. Okay, but I'm not much of a motorcycle rider. But this guy undoubtedly felt that he could ride in the rain. He had no problem. That's this word, enduring. Enduring. Here's an unexpected situation. A guy's going where he wants to go with a plan in mind, but something happens he does not expect. But he endures a bad situation. Is that you? So let me begin tonight with a casual survey. Okay, how many of you know someone who is a Christian who is suffering adversity? Maybe it's you. Maybe it's someone in this room. You know someone? Okay, raise your hand if, because I'm going to call on you, by the way, through the night. So we got to start now. I'm going to need some raising hands and reading verses and help tonight. Okay, how many of you know someone who's suffering some adversity? Okay, how many of you know someone that you might say because he's a Christian or she's a Christian that person is under stress? And I don't mean just in this room, but I mean you know someone. Okay, good. Okay, perhaps even persecution. Do we know Christians who are persecuted? I, in fact, had begun earlier, including this as one of my major topics, talking about Christian persecution throughout the world. I don't plan to do that now. But it's interesting some of the statistics that are out there on how Christians are being persecuted in places like North Korea and China, where the gospel is being preached and people are being saved and the governments and other religions are persecuting Christians. And we have a book here that's written over 2,000 years ago by a man who knew Jesus Christ, who was faithful to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we now have a letter contained in our Bibles that he wrote that deals with that very thing. Maybe it's just the little stresses that you and I have in our daily lives. Maybe it's just an occasional challenge that we have because we're a Christian and we get made fun of, or we get called goody-two-shoes, or we get branded at work as the Christian guy. and we think, oh, I'm really suffering because of that. Or whether you're facing full-blown persecution, which in our country we don't have yet, but it may one day come. But we all suffer. We suffer because of a stand that we might take for Jesus Christ. You know people who are suffering. I know people who are suffering. Perhaps it's you, and if it's not you today, it will be you someday in the future. I trust you will find comfort tonight. First, I would like you to consider this man Peter and his knowledge and references to the Old Testament. We won't take time to look at all of them, but Peter's familiarity with the Old Testament law and prophets enabled him to explain various Old Testament passages in light of the life and work of the Messiah. So would you look please at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. It says this, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, that's a quote of Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, where God had told the nation of Israel through Moses, be holy, for I am holy. Here, Peter, he knows his Old Testament. He quotes this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, Peter says, wherefore it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Right? He's quoting Isaiah 28:16 and perhaps Psalm 118, verse 22, knowing that Christ would be rejected by the Jews through their disobedience and unbelief. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, Peter says, who did no sin, neither guile was found in his mouth. He's quoting, obviously, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9, the great prophecy about the Messiah and the crucifixion of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Peter is quoting Psalm 34 there, an admonition to live holy through the power of God and the blessings that it yields. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, he talks about being clothed with humility in the second half of the verse, and he's quoting there Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. So you're reading a letter from a man who knew Jesus Christ. You're reading a letter from a man who was very well versed in his Scripture. You're reading a letter from a guy. Okay, this is top of the line. Peter. Peter knew Jesus. Right? And Peter says this to us tonight. Hey, some trials are coming. Okay, I'm going to help you get ready for them. Some trials are coming. It might be persecution. Be ready for them. Okay? So I began to consider an outline. I began to consider, you know, key points and key passages. But I got to the point where I simply said this. I want to read 1 Peter, and I want to look at all of these outlines, and I want to see what keeps jumping out at me. And I just want to share this with you for the next 10 minutes. This challenge that jumped out at me from the book of 1 Peter, from just casually reading 1 Peter without an outline, without exploring all of the key passages, because there's a lot in 1 Peter to unfold. We could spend weeks in 1 Peter, as many men have. But the book certainly deals with our great salvation that we have and our responsibilities because of it. But every time I read through Peter and every outline I looked through, I couldn't escape these three themes. Number one is our great salvation. Number two is the holiness that we have in our lives because of that great salvation. And number three is that trials and suffering are coming. Salvation, holiness, and suffering. Okay? So, what about suffering? This note about suffering. Chuck Swindoll said this, how do you react when suffering comes? Many crumble at the mere thought of another pain or trial. Others rise to the occasion. Most of us are probably somewhere in between. Peter's encouragement to his Christian readers is one of perseverance in faith. It is not enough for us simply to get up every morning and trudge through each day. Neither is it advisable to paste a smile on your face and ignore your troubles. Instead, the lesson of 1 Peter is to push through the troubles, recognizing their temporary presence in our lives while walking in holiness and hope as people of faith. As people of faith. So, here's what I'd like to do tonight. I hope this goes over well. If it doesn't, we'll trudge through the next 5 minutes, and I apologize. So, I'm going to use the chapter divisions that's in your Bible, okay, ignoring the outlines. Here's what I want. Peter has five chapters. We're going to read chapter 5 together at the end. First, now, for the first four chapters, here's what I want you to do. This side of the auditorium, okay, you guys are assigned chapter 1. This side of the auditorium, you're assigned chapter 2. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look through chapter 1. I want you to look through chapter 2, looking for this. Something about my salvation. What makes my salvation great? Okay? Secondly, there's going to be trials. There's going to be suffering. Look for an encouragement that you could give to someone else in the midst of trials and suffering, right? That's the second thing to look for. And the third thing is to look for a way in which a Christian can live a holy life. Okay? So you're looking for something great about your salvation. I'm trying to keep my eyes on this new platform here. Make sure I don't fall off. You're looking for something great about your salvation. You're looking for something that's an encouragement or could be an encouragement to another believer who's going through some trials or suffering. And third thing, right, you're looking for holiness. What does holiness in the Christian life look like? Okay, so you've got chapter 1, you've got chapter 2, and I've got some answers written down that I came up with just in case nobody wants to volunteer anything. Okay, so anyone on this side, read chapter 1. Can you find a verse that indicates something that's great about your salvation? Anyone over here? I understand this may be more like a Sunday school type setting, but you know, so be it. I'm going to put you to work tonight. What's something great about your salvation from 1 Peter 1?
Abundant mercy.
Yeah, abundant mercy, right? God has saved us in His mercy, okay? I wrote down verse 9, okay? So 1 Peter 1, 9 says that we receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls, that Peter talks about this great salvation that we have because of God, and as John points out, because of God's abundant mercy, okay? Good. So what about an encouragement in the midst of trials? Is there anything in 1 Peter 1 that you might share with a brother or a sister who is going through some sort of trial, even if it's you? What's there? What's in 1 Peter, Dwayne?
Verse 5.
Okay, great. We are kept by the power of God. You know what's an encouragement to me? Is that when I'm going through my trials, I don't have to sustain myself. I can't, right? And you can't always sustain me, but He can. We are kept by the power of God. What a great encouragement. I can't say it, but it's true nonetheless, right? What a great encouragement for me to give to you and for you to give to somebody else, right? All right, what's in 1 Peter 1 about holiness? What does Peter challenge us to do to live a holy life? Or what is there in 1 Peter 1 that we can say, hey, there's my encouragement to live a holy life? Anybody find anything in chapter 1? 13, okay. That's one that I had written down, okay. 1:13 says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, to be serious, right? To hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So gird up the loins of your mind. So if you and I have any hope of holiness in our lives, it's going to involve serious thought, right? It's going to involve meditation. So here's Peter. Here's Peter, the guy who knew Jesus Christ, the guy who stood up before the Sanhedrin and said, you are the ones who crucified Jesus Christ, but this lame man that we healed today, we didn't heal through hocus pocus. We healed him through the name of Jesus Christ, the one that you crucified. That guy who knew Jesus Christ, who is now an old man, who is getting near to the end of his life, and he says, gird up the loins of your mind. That's an encouragement to the first century Christians. That's an encouragement to me, and that's an encouragement to you. You will not make it as a Christian if you fail to gird up the loins of your mind. Because this life is about the holiness that you achieve through the Spirit of God in spite of your suffering. Okay? Do we find that in chapter 2? Anybody find anything in chapter 2 that a reason to stand up and wave your fist and say, praise God for my great salvation? Anything in chapter 2? Beth? Verse 9. Yeah. Amazing, right? That God would call any of us. And every one of us He called out of darkness, right? We're studying this in our teen Sunday school class, the senior high class, is studying salvation, what salvation means to us. And one of the great things that we've come across is that God would save me, right? That God would reach across time and eternity and love me. And save me. What a great God that we have who gives us this great salvation, right? Okay, what about an encouragement in time of trouble, stress? We're all going to be there, or you know someone who's there right now. What's a verse? Way in the back. Brad.
19 and 20.
All right, 19 and 20. chapter 2, 19 and 20. For this is thankworthy, if a man's conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if ye be buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. Now, can you see yourself sitting down with a fellow brother or sister and saying, hey, listen, I know life's not going the way you want it to, and it may not go well for a long time, but you have some encouragement right here. Let me read you 1 Peter 2, 19 and 20, written by a man over 2,000 years ago, yet it still meets our needs today. Why? Because here's Peter's letter. Hey, you know what? We have this great salvation from God. And in the midst of living out this salvation that we have, we're going to see trials, maybe persecution. There's undoubtedly going to be suffering. But here's an encouragement. And here's the way to get through it is to live a holy life. So what does chapter 2 tell us about holiness? Anyone? Chapter 2 give you any indication of living a holy life? Anyone find anything? Yeah, but you're on the wrong side. This is chapter 2 over here. Okay. So I had written down verse 11 and 12, which is 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12, right? Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation or your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God. So Peter's challenge was, hey, there ought to be people around you who will glorify God because of what they see in you. That's a challenge to be holy. Right? And we could do it again with chapter 3, I believe, and chapter 4. Or we'd probably give this side chapter 3 this time. Wouldn't matter. I think it's there. I think it's throughout all of 1 Peter. Here are these encouragements about the salvation that we have. You have a great God who has saved you in spite of you. He loved you, has mercy, and has extended grace to you and to me and has saved us. And we could see it again in chapter 4. Chapter 4, I especially like what he wrote in verse 1, how he indicates that the salvation that we have drives the holiness that we see in the lives of Christians. So, read it. It's there, 1 Peter. You'll see an amazing God who has given you an amazing salvation. You'll see suffering and trials. It's coming to Christians. It's not an unusual thing. Don't live your life expecting to be a Christian who never sees trials or tribulations. It's coming. The answer, though, is holiness. It's holiness for you and for me. Now, chapter 5, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 11, and I want you to find in here encouragement. Encouragement. 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's inheritance but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Okay, so he's talking to leaders, church leaders, elders, pastors, if you will. Okay, verse 5, here we are. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Wait, Peter, are you sure? Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. There it is again. A great salvation through Jesus Christ. Verse 10, right? An encouragement for someone who is suffering. A challenge to holiness. And the ability for us to see that the great salvation that we have from Jesus Christ drives the holiness that is exhibited every day in our lives, that is an encouragement for us that what we see here isn't what we're after. This world is not the end, right? We live for another world. Our home is not here. Our home is in another place, right? Therefore, our goals should not dwell here. Our aspirations should not be here. What we seek to live for should not be here. It is something much more eternal, something much more precious. It is the end of, Peter calls it, our salvation, right? It's trouble, stress, adversity. You know someone who's going through that, right? We all know Christians who have been persecuted. Perhaps you know some Christians being persecuted today. As we've already alluded, it's happening around the world. They have this same encouragement from Peter that God is in control of this. God's in control of your salvation, right? God is the one who enables you to live a holy life through His Spirit and through His Word. Take advantage of it. Live a holy life and be an encouragement to those around you. Be encouraged tonight that in spite of anything that's happening in your life today or anything that will happen in your life tomorrow, God's got it. God's got it. And you've got a great salvation because of Jesus Christ. And you and I have an obligation to encourage those around us. As Peter, a man who would soon die within 3 or 4 years of writing this book, a man who said, hey, God's in control of this. This is all about Jesus Christ. This is not about me. To Him be glory and power forever. So, my plan next week is to look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Now, you're going to see great passages. We're going to read more individual passages next week talking about, Peter talks about the inspiration of the Scriptures, right? Peter talks about the return of Jesus Christ in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter 3:1, he says, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And 2 Peter is a lot like this, is remembering things, because 2 Peter was written shortly before Peter died. And he gives us encouragements to be faithful to Jesus Christ, to remind us of the great salvation that we possess and the opportunity that we have to, and the privilege that we have to know God through Jesus Christ and the holiness that is in our lives because of Him and because of His Spirit and the encouragement that we can be to each other.